gave us, it was a death sentence hanging on it, because nobody could actually live all that. And it was proven back there in that time, and it's still proven right now. We can't live like that. So we have to get out of the flesh as to where we feel everything, we see everything, we smell everything, we touch everything. See, we can't use the five senses. That's not the spirit realm. That is the sense realm. That is the flesh realm. So we have to come out of the flesh realm where we hear, see, speak, touch, smell, taste. We have to come out of that realm, and we have to get in the spirit realm. And that's where Jesus Christ is. That's where God is. That's where the supernatural is. That's where all the supernatural abilities that we have, that's where it's at. And see, right now, the church is living in a state as to where we're just hearing and we're enjoying and we're feeling and we're touching. We're touching that word, you know. We can pick up the Bible. We can pick up an iPhone. We can pick up a pad, a tablet, and there's a word instantly right there. How many know touching that is not going to help us? Seeing that is not going to help us. Speaking that is not going to help us. We're going to have to do the word. The Bible said we have to do the word. It says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he redeemed sin in the flesh. God redeemed us from that. He brought us back from sin. We was taken into sin by Adam and Eve, and Jesus brought us out of sin. He brought us on out. The perfect Lamb of God. You know, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. See, we have to fulfill the righteousness of the law. It's got to be fulfilled in us. Who walk not after flesh, not after this flesh, but after the Spirit. See, we got to stop walking as mere men in the flesh. We have to become supernatural walkers and livers. We have to live in a supernatural state, in a supernatural atmosphere. We have to live in the Spirit, you know. For we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles, if you will, to a very familiar verse. Scripture found in Psalms number 119, verse 11. Psalms number 119, verse 11. Recorded are these words. thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. These words, which were penned by the psalmist who had an appreciation of the power of God's word, the purity of God's word, and he who personally experienced God's word in his own life. This verse has been quoted many times by many of us on many occasions, but do we really grasp what this verse is really saying? Thy word, God's word, have I hid in mine heart. Now, I like the way the psalmist makes this personal, because there reaches a time, my brothers and sisters, when each and every believer is going to have to take the word of God very seriously and personally and become responsible for that word. You know, many of us in life, we're used to blaming folk for this and blaming folk for that and saying this is the reason this happened and that's the reason that happened. But the question becomes, when do you take responsibility for the word that you do know? James made it clear, when we know better, we ought to do better. And a whole lot of us know better and still won't do better. So here the psalmist says, thy word, not my word, but thy word. And this speaks of the word of God most plainly, both written and spoken. At this point in time, the written word and the spoken word were the only words that had come to fruition in the lives of the believers. And what was most important is the understanding that those words were filled with power, with life, with expression, with instruction, with direction, with correction. That word was God's word to his people. Matter of fact, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, the A section says, every word of God is pure. And the psalmist understood this in the context of his own experience with God, that every word of God is pure. And my brothers and sisters, one of the wonderful things about that is that God, in his holy estate, would give a pure word to such an impure people. But the power of his pure word is able to cleanse unclean people, especially those who trust in the Lord. And one of the things, as we look at this word, it's not going to be long, and I'm not going to be long for you, before you, because the text is not long. But I want to share with you certain things that I've discovered in this word, because it is important to understand that the holy writ of God is there to make us better when we incorporate that word into our lives. Proverbs 4 and 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Where does wisdom come from? The word of God. Listen, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Therefore, get the word of God. But listen, it also says, and with all thy getting, get understanding. It means nothing to quote the word and don't know the word. What matters is understanding the word you've just quoted. So listen at this now, because when we talk about the word, think about you taking God's most precious gift in word form that's been delivered to man so that man would have an understanding of God's heart, of God's mind, of God's will, and of God's way. And to know that means that if you want to get to know God better, you've got to know his word better. Some people pray, Lord, I want to know you better, and never pick up their Bibles. See, but when you meditate on the word of God day and night, what happens is God meets you in the word, and he begins through his spirit to minister to you. When you begin to search the word, when you begin to study the word, when you begin to look into the word and discover the word and the meanings of the word and begin to exegete the text, which means to get the truth, excavate the truth out of the text, to get beyond the surface of the word and get into the meaning of the word, it is there that the word begins to do what it's been sent to do. The Bible says in Psalm 107 and 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. You see, the word is powerful. And we must recognize that what God does in the word, he does in the people who utilize the word through the word. That's why John says in the 15th chapter in the 7th word where Jesus is quoted as saying, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Now listen at this. One of the things that Jesus is saying, if you really want to get your prayers answered, abide in my word. But you've got to recognize that you, one, have got to have a relationship with me. If you abide in me, his word is connected with him. You can't have the promises of his word until you have him as the prince of his word. You have got to have Jesus in your life as the source of the word in order for the word to do you any good. So when he says that if ye abide in me and my words, both spoken and written, abide in you, then he says, ye shall ask. Most importantly, because God wants us to recognize when you understand the word, you're made in God's image. You're made in God's likeness. Therefore, God who spoke everything that was into existence, you being made in his image and his likeness, have that same ability in you to speak those things that be not as though they were. So God wants you to use your creative power by way of the spoken word. Ask. Well, what do I ask him for? I'm glad you asked. You ask him for his will. You see, you learn his will through his word. And you learn his way through his will. And so when you learn his word, guess what? You'll know just what to ask him for, and you'll know not what to ask him for. Because once you learn his word, you will become familiar with what his will is, and no longer will you ask God for things you know God's not going to give you because it's not in his will. So no longer will you pray God, pray prayers, Lord, do such and such and such a thing if it is your will. No, because when you learn the word, you begin to know what God says about everything it is he's going to do according to his word. And when you pray according to that word, you come back, put God in remembrance of his word, and say, God, you said in your word, if I did so-and-so, you would do so-and-so. And you remind me that you're not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man that you should repent. So if you said it, Lord, I wish I had a help in the house, you will back up what you've said. But here's the question. Do you know what he said? And when you learn what God said in his word, listen, then you take that word and you hide it in your heart. Now what you're saying to God is, God, your word is so precious. Your word is so powerful. Your word is so pure that I want it on the inside of me. And I'm hiding it in my heart because that's where I treasure the things I love the most. So what you're telling God is, I love you so much and your word so much, I want to put it in my treasured places. Y'all ain't helping me today. I want to put it where those things that mean the most to me are hidden, and it's in my heart. My most precious memories are in my heart. The things I desire the most are in my heart. The things I hold the dearest, my heart. And that's where your word is, in my heart. Do you know why many of us can't quote scripture? Because it ain't in your heart. Ooh, I just got a bad memory. You remember your address, don't you? You remember your social security number, don't you? You remember what day of the month you get paid on, don't you? I could keep talking, but I think you get the point. The things you hold dear to your heart, you remember. So don't give God that mess about it. I can't remember. I can't quote them scriptures, child. Hide them in your heart. And you will be able to bring back, to regurgitate, to speak again those words that you treasure in your heart. Listen. So when he says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, he's making clear, I ain't doing this for nobody else. And see, that's what I think I need somebody to know today. When you take the word of God and you hide it in your heart, it's for you. It's not for other folk. It's for you. It's for you because of what the word of God means to you. And there are three things about this word in the context of this verse that I want to bring out for you, and then I'm going to leave you alone. Because y'all don't act like y'all got his word hidden in your heart. So I'm going to just go and say what I got to say and finish it, because it's in my heart. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Listen. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. So the first thing I need to know about this word is that it represents the covenant of God. And by placing his covenant in my heart, it makes us covenant companions. Covenant companions, if you're taking notes. Because what you've told God is, God, I honor your covenant, I honor your word, and I hide it in my heart, in my treasured places, where I place everything that I value most highly in this world at, and that's where I have your word. And so because of the covenant that I believe in, that I agree with, that I enter into with you, this better covenant that you've given me through Jesus Christ, Lord, I have the promises of that covenant in mine heart. That means I know what God is going to do for me. I don't have to think he's going to do it. I don't have to feel like he's going to do it. I don't have to hope he's going to do it. By his covenant, I know he's going to do it. And that covenant agreement makes me a companion, which means I have my part to play just as well as God has his part to play, because we are covenant companions. Covenant companions. My brothers and sisters, that means we have a contract. And both of us are held to this contract. We have an agreement of terms. And that means everything that God said he's going to do in this contract, by virtue of this covenant, by virtue of this agreement, I have every right to hold God accountable to this covenant, to this, listen, New Testament agreement. And with this, listen, I too enter into this covenant with God. There are things that I have to do along with God to honor this covenant. In other words, if I keep my agreement to this covenant, then God has to honor his word. And when we both keep our agreement, everything turns out as ordered. Isn't that wonderful to know that God don't back out on his word? Isn't it good to know that when you get through doing everything you're supposed to do, God is not going to say, listen, I'm really glad you did everything you got to do, but I won't tell you, I ran out of what I said I was going to give you. Man, so many people were keeping the covenant, and I had to give everybody what I told them I was going to, and I just ain't have enough left for you. Aren't you glad God don't have to say that? That we serve a God big enough, if we honor his word, he will honor his word. We're in covenant companion with God. Second thing this word reveals beyond that, it is that not only are we covenant companions with God, but God's word searches us. God's word sees everything. He hears everything. His word knows everything. God deals with us and reveals to us the reality of who he is and who we are to him. And so what God does many times is he uses our consciousness, listen, through his word, to honor him by focusing on what God ordains, which is the truth in that same word. His word brings to our consciousness everything that he told us, everything that we have hid in our hearts for that day and time when he will resurface those words when we need them the most. How many times when there was no one around and you needed some encouragement, and you needed somebody to tell you everything was going to be all right, your pillow wet with tears, and the people you thought would be there when you called, you wind up getting their voicemail. Line wind up being busy or just not answering the phone But his word was on the inside of you. And the Holy Ghost stirred that word up and brought it back to your consciousness. And the word of God encouraged you because what was in you was stirred up in you and brought you the peace that only God could bring. I wish I had somebody in the house who would talk to me. And what you're going to realize is there are some things you get yourself in, only the word can get you out of. There are some things that you become so discouraged with that you can only encourage yourself in the word, because you can't tell everybody everything. But oh, how many of you know God knows it already and his word? Comes to our consciousness and brings to us what we need when we need it. That's why we hide it in our hearts, because the Holy Ghost uses his word hidden in our heart as a reference bank. And he searches that and discovers what it is that we have need of and what is appropriate in our heart. At that same moment, at that perfect time, he brings that word up and consciously makes you aware of the word that God promised you. And then the third thing, the word does something else. The word corrects our course. Thirdly, it corrects our course. One of the things that you'll note in Psalm 119, verse 105, is David saying, "Thy word," again, "is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You see, many times, my brothers and sisters, if we walk wrong because we don't have the word of God lighting our consciousness nor our path. And so many of us make decisions that we would not make. We make choices we would not make if we had the right word hidden on the inside of us. You see, the word of God hidden on the inside of us affects our conscious choices, and our conscious choices are affected by the content of our minds. What we put in our minds are the necessary elements that help us to make a choice or a decision. Too many wrong things lead you to lean to the darker side, to the satanic side, to the carnal side, to the fleshly side. Listen to what the Bible says, Galatians 6. And verse 8, "He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." You see, when you don't have enough word in you, your mind relays and relies on the information it's already got. And that's why when you come out of the world and you've been baptized in the water, you've got to be baptized in the Spirit. You've got to use the word of God to wash your mind and cleanse your mind of the worldly content that would automatically have you processing godly things in a worldly way. You see, that's why you've got to be renewed, listen, by the word of God.